Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast, now available with drilling in the background. I'm your host, Alana Johnson, and with me, as always, is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, what is poppin'?
You know, I don't know if people can hear the drilling.
I'm bringing it up.
Okay.
I'm bringing it up because I can hear it.
Right.
Yeah.
It is unfortunate that everywhere we move... for some reason, next door needs like a full flip.
It's true. Like, I'm thinking back, it is true.
And we tried to rush this to be like, let's get ahead of this skill saw. It's nice and early. And
we couldn't. It's this outrageous.
Loud saw starts.
For what?
At
for who? So our neighbor seven... Barb can enjoy her place a bit better?
She doesn't, though. It's above her. She must hate it.
Oh, yeah, poor Barb. We should get her on here.
Anyway, saws, stop them. We don't need them.
They should be illegal.
They should be illegal.
Norm, what's going on? How are you feeling today?
You know, just before we recorded, you like checked back in, like recapping what we needed to cover. And then you said, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, we have no updates. And then we hit record. So yeah, I have nothing to report.
No, I mean no updates of like follow-ups. Because sometimes I'll be like, oh, we'll follow up and let you guys know next week. But last week, all we did was talk about how gross you were.
Oh, right.
Because your butt was exploding. And somebody, I think, either tweeted or reached out about it. A couple people did. People,
reached out?
Yes.
About people, my butt?
Yes, about you being gross.
Gross.
People were concerned. The people care.
Right. Listen, we've all been there.
We've all been there.
Don't
yeah, listen,
deny it.
We have a couple updates. We've been busy. We're bopping around town. I had a music video shoot that I did.
Oh, you for, shot a music video.
Yes,
yeah.
For one of my self-esteem party songs. And Mo and I chat about
the... Is that going to be available on the Patreon or just regular?
You know what? That's going to be just regular.
Wow.
This has got to be a worldwide hit.
Wow. A song that's been out for quite some time will now become a worldwide hit.
Because you have to put attention on it.
Yeah,
the Patreon will get the behind the scenes, which I've already posted as well.
For all to see.
I don't know if I know how a Patreon
I don't
works.
Think you do either. It's certainly not looking at pictures that people have already seen.
That's okay.
Just audio of the saw. Hey, listen to this. It's on the Patreon.
You went to a Clippers game.
I went to a Clippers
on
game.
On the same night. We had a big night out. Separate.
We did. Separate night out, but yeah.
Yeah. Did you miss me? What happened?
No.
Did anyone bring me up?
No.
Oh.
Actually, yeah, Georgia was there.
Yeah. Former guest, current friend.
Jackie was there.
Same.
Scott Rogers, former producer of this podcast, was there. I went with him.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You guys caught up.
We mostly watched the Clippers play basketball, but yeah.
Well,
yeah, sorry.
The music video shoot was a huge hit. It was a night shoot.
Let's hear your thing that's probably interesting.
It was a night shoot. It's pretty sexy
stuff.
Other than
me saying, we couldn't find parking, really.
We also couldn't find parking.
Wow.
It was a very sexy shoot. Mm-hmm. I was in see-through lingerie and had to make a big dramatic announcement to everyone that I was in see-through lingerie, and I know I'm in see-through lingerie. I didn't want people to get embarrassed for me. Thinking
right.
I didn't know my nipples could be seen. And they can, and they will, by the people in the worldwide hit.
Hold on. The whole world is going to see your nipples.
Yes. You're welcome in advance. People are going to get so jealous. You're going to be the talk of the town.
You think people will watch the video and the first thing will be like, hey, look at those nipples. Those are way better than mine.
Yeah. They're like translucent gifts.
What? Translucent? Your nipples made out of fucking cellophane? What are you talking about?
That's the story I'm sticking to. we got a great guest today that we hung out with.
Well, you had a guest scheduled and they had something come up. And then you happened to have a guest
another
coming
guest
in
scheduled
for the Patreon that you just decided, hey, let's just check back in full
well,
on for an episode.
Because we had, it ended up needing to be a full episode because there was so much to talk about. So it really worked out in terms of
Is it
of
a good
timing.
One, this episode?
It's a great one. We get wow. into it. We talk about an upcoming event that we have.
You should say who it is.
I'm about to, Norm.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
Get off my back already.
Sorry, it's early and a saw woke me up.
Yeah, we talk about an upcoming exciting event. You'll have to listen to the full episode to find out what it is.
Coachella.
Yeah, we're doing Coachella. My set's going to be 30 seconds. Right. I'm doing the worldwide hit.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I think we get to it. And her...
to Coachella?
Yeah, we get right to Coachella. We were hanging out with her daughter, too, who got along great with Mia the dog.
Yes.
They're about the same size. We didn't know if that would cause tension. And it totally worked out.
Yeah. What did Mia really... Yeah, she really got in her grill about something. I think it was like...
When
she has this...
little pig.
She had like... No, it was like a starfish rubber thing that...
Oh, that's right.
Mia really wanted to eat.
Yeah, she didn't want to eat. But I will say it was really cute. When they left, Mia came out of the bedroom and was sniffing around for Cleo and was like so upset she was gone.
Yeah.
It was a huge drama.
Either that.
Her only friend.
Or she was able to eat a little bit of bread and then she was looking for more bread. It's one or the other.
Don't rain on my cute dog's parade. I was thinking she's such a good person.
In Mia's mind, it's just like, where is child? Oh, wait. What about my bread?
My bread.
Bread. That's what goes through our dog's mind.
I know. What an idiot. And she has to lose more weight. I'm so sick of
it. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give my dog an eating disorder.
The vet like calls us up. It's like, hey, your dog needs to drop some LBs. It's like,
why don't you drop some LBs, Dr.
Shut
Lisa?
Shut up, Lisa. You stink.
All right, let's get to it. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
a
gift, an absolute gift.
I thought you said a gif. I was like,
welcome this gift.
They're not going to be able to see it move.
Welcome this gift, Mo Welch, right after this break.
It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party.
Mo?
Hello?
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 How are you? God, thanks so much for doing the podcast. Welcome back. How's it feel to be of the select few?
It feels amazing. So how many people have you had on twice?
Well, so we're not counting the Patreon because the whole point of the Patreon is catch-ups. And
right.
We've only done a few of those. But I've only ever had one guest back on twice, Holly Prazoff, for a full episode.
I was going to guess Holly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then because she was the first guest. And then Pat Babbitt has already come on twice for a New Year's prediction of what the year is to come.
Did you invite
he'll
him
be coming
or did
back.
He just come on the podcast?
Yeah, he stormed the doors. He came in, he gave his prediction, and he left. And he
Classic
closed the door
PB.
Behind him. Classic PB. But yeah, so I guess you're number two full time.
I feel great because, I mean, you probably don't do this for all of your guests, but you guys made me some delicious spaghetti and turkey mushroom spinach meatballs.
That's right. And I was basically raising your child.
You were raising my child, which meant a lot to her.
So, okay, let's get right into it because I'm excited to talk about this. So wait, on a scale of 1 to 10, let's get started. In terms of your self-esteem, how are you feeling?
Okay, I really have to think about this because I wonder what mine was last time.
Well, here's the thing.
Probably
I know
low.
The content of the episode from last time, but this is why I'm curious to check in on how you're feeling now. I'll give you a refresher.
Right.
If you need it.
No, I remember that I was like having a hard time because Cleo was, my daughter was 5 months old, strapped to my chest during the podcast.
Yes.
And I didn't feel very good about my body or my career.
Yes. You were feeling,
Classic.
So you were feeling a little on the lower side, but it was interesting because you were happy because of the baby. So you were like, I'm fulfilled. I have this joy, mm-hmm. but... And a personal note about just me, I'm feeling these
right.
particular things.
I want to say, even though I have my days, I feel like 8 is pretty good.
Yeah, like, I'll take
even
it.
Even some days, it's like more than that because I feel really, I have a lot of gratitude. I'm just like, after all this this crazy year.
I hate to say it. I don't like love and life, but I do.
Yeah. I'm not one of those people that has like the live, love, laugh poster
yeah,
on the wall,
live,
but I will.
Love, laugh.
And laugh and listen to podcasts.
Yeah, the podcast. I should put that on a shirt.
You should.
Live, laugh, listen to podcasts.
skeleton looking spaces. Love it.
Yes, those were the topics that we had covered last time, and it's very interesting.
Well, I think at that point I thought like, hey, I'm going to get back to like my, as far as like me feeling good in my own skin again, I was like, I'm going to get back to like what I was before I was with, you know, the baby. And I certainly haven't, but I've accepted, in a way, like there, honestly, it's like once every 5 days, I won't accept it, but 4 out of 5, I'll be like, okay, I accept that this body like created a human and that it's different than the body that I had before that.
When we met up at the, and I don't hate to say it, Americana, friend of the Glendale Galleria Mall.
Yeah. When we met up, friend, more like a foe.
When we met up, we were talking about, clothes, jeans. I was like, oh, my jeans are so tight, whatever. We're yammering on about jeans. And I will say this. You said this statement pretty much verbatim of like, I'm not where I once was, but maybe this is where I'm supposed to be. And right. It was just so different from when you first came on. And like in your defense, you just had a baby.
Right.
So it's weird. It's foreign. Your body, especially it's like, because so you're so athletic.
Right.
Right. With like basketball and everything. You've always had like such an athletic, like lean body.
Right.
Like so easy for you to maintain.
Yeah.
So it's hard when all of a sudden you're like, wait, these hips out of nowhere?
The hips have been difficult for me because I'm like, you know, I really relate to just being like the tall, like, you know, lesbian leaning on a wall that's like wearing leather. And now I'm like, I got this, like, I feel like I got a mom bod now. And,
lesbian,
you know,
leaning on a wall.
Yeah. That's what I related to. And now I'm like, well, I got the mom, you know, whatever. Like, I don't think about it as much, which is good. And I think that, like, if I ever went to therapy, but, you know, I think, you know, or when I do in the future, I think that's what I'll probably talk about. I'll have some talking points ready to go.
We'll gather some for you as well of things we think you should work on.
I would love, that should be the Patreon, is like, okay, help. Maybe you guys can be my therapist.
Yeah, guys, if you have any advice for Mo based on what you've been listening to so far or what will unfold in the rest of the podcast, please tweet at @selfesteemparty, #AdviceForMo, and give us your advice to help save Mo. Thank you so much.
It's going to save me some money. That's
sure. What I'm talking about. I'm just trying to save you a couple bucks here.
Thank you.
I will say, and I'm kind of noticing this difference in a lot of people, like throughout the pandemic, I think people became a lot more body obsessed. If you already were, then of course it amplified by a million for someone like me, whatever. But it's like, if you weren't, I noticed that friends of mine that didn't have issues with that were bringing it up because our bodies changed so much in the pandemic, obviously. But I'm not hearing as much about it now. And I understand that like we've all come to terms with things for different reasons.
Right.
But it's like, I kind of feel like we're so distracted by some sense of a real life again that we're no longer obsessing and picking ourselves apart. And I feel like the whole pandemic, as great as it was for that reflection and the epiphanies and whatever else that people got, which I'm completely in support of, and that self-discovery, people were also making a bit of a laundry list of things they had to fix. And some of those lists were getting pretty long and pretty unnecessary.
Right.
And I think like some of the body stuff of like hanging on to something that maybe you could let breathe a bit was one of like the big culprits on that list.
Yeah, because when things started to open up a little bit, part of you was just like, it actually reminds me of like when I had the baby, because I was just like, yeah, I want to like get back in shape and do all of that, but I also want to enjoy myself. I've been pregnant for, for years. I've been pregnant and I just need to.
Yeah, I know. I remember that. Took a couple years on this one. I remember that. And I thought, this baby has got to come out.
Yeah, 3 years pregnancy.
I didn't want to be, you know, I don't want to tell you to be a mom or anything, but I just don't know if you're supposed to carry a baby
that long. Yeah. And you know me, you lesbian know me. Leaner.
Always leaning against some sort of wall. No, it's just something that you're so excited to see friends again. You're not worried like, oh, whatever jeans or oh, whatever. And to be honest with you, no, that's not true. When the initial presentation of a plan or an event comes, I'm always like, oh my God, what am I going to wear? But then you realize you're so desperate to go And to see those people and to connect with somebody that you're like, just throw anything on and get out of the house.
It's nice if we all just accept that, like, everyone's body changed during quarantine and that's that. And, like, I haven't even noticed. Who doesn't notice. Yeah, I don't either. If someone's gained 50 pounds, I'm just like, I don't know.
And
I don't
know. I do. I am someone that notices.
No,
and
I know don't if it's me.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. If it's no, but I mean in other people. Like, right. When I was really in the height of my illness, I definitely could see things in other people because I was in that like heightened phase of monitoring. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, I don't notice anything because everyone just looks happy.
Right.
And to be out and satisfied and like people are like enjoying themselves. And it's like, I'm not looking at anybody except a smiling face if I can get it.
Right.
I'm really not looking at anything else anymore.
And there's something to like, you know, I'll look at photos of me, like say when we first started hanging out and it's like, 10 years ago, and you know, I'm thin and I'm like basically what I would think my ideal body weight is for me. And then I remember not liking my body. So it's like, no matter what, I've always been like self-conscious about it. So at some point you just go, I just go like, okay, I accept myself. And no matter what, if I were 20 pounds less, or like if I am what I am right now or 20 pounds more, I'm still going to have an issue with my body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just accepting that like, hey, that's just life. But like, nobody cares. You know,
no, if you're nobody healthy, gives it's like, a
fine.
Shit.
Right.
And like, I've been trying to catch a couple glimpses in the mirror and be like, not bad. Because even if I've packed on a couple, guess what? If you can pack it on once, you can pack it on 1,000 times. So enjoy what you've got while you've got it.
Yeah.
If you've got the curves, enjoy the curves. If they're gone, you're not going to have that like juicy butt anymore.
Right.
Or those like cool fuller boobs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you got to there's perks no matter where you are.
Right.
There's perks. If you're on the smaller side, okay, fine. You fit into your pre-existing jeans.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on the curvier side, you got to buy new curvy jeans.
The curvy ones.
Hi, one curve, please.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Excuse me, ma'am?
No, I'm definitely proud of you.
But I like that, like, we can come, you know, we can, like, you know, not that the pandemic is over, but come out of, like, the thick of it, hopefully.
Yes.
And say, like, yeah, like, I was obsessing about that for the last year and a half, but you know, I am happy to be out, and I almost, like you were saying, it's just like, I'm almost just too distracted with like all of my goals and like seeing people that I just like don't give a fuck.
I feel the exact same way. Like, yeah. I can't care about what other people think because I went so long without it. Like, the last year and a half, the only thing we were worried about with other people thinking was like COVID judgments. So if somebody saw you out with friends, it's like, oh, they shouldn't be doing that. Like, I would be worried taking pictures with people without a mask on because of what other people were going to think. So because my life went from being like, are they going to notice I gained 5 pounds to are they going to notice I just risked somebody's life?
Right.
which I wasn't. I never did. So few of us ever did. But it's like, you know what I mean? At the time with such little information. So because it was that drastic, it was like all of a sudden the 5 pounds meant nothing.
Right.
Because I was like, oh, I put myself through way harsher judgments.
But also it's kind of great to be in a career, the career of comedy, where we don't have that, we don't really need to be, have the pressure of being like super tiny or anything like that.
Just got to say your line at the right time.
You have to be funny.
Yeah, you just got to be funny. The thing
is, it's like if you're funny, it doesn't matter like what your body type is. If you can make a crowd laugh and keep laughing, it's just like, that's all we need to do. So as long as we're working on our craft and like obviously working on our health and mental.
Yeah. It kind of bums me out though. Sometimes like I've noticed something I do and I did it before. I thought I was kind of over it, but recently it's kind of been coming back where I have associated my size with my career. And like, it's like sometimes when it comes to thinking about, like, I can be so much more empathetic with somebody else talking about it. But when I think about my own career, it's as if the pandemic doesn't even factor in. And I'm just telling myself, look how long it's been since you've worked a blank type job or like whatever I'm thinking of. And it's just so unfortunate because I've told myself during this time that if I looked this way, I would be booking more. And it's bumming me out. I kind of thought I was a little more over it.
Right.
In association with career. And I know my only job is to be funny, but like, I feel like I've just tied that in maybe as something to add to that big laundry list of to-dos, mm-hmm. a little more torturous or whatever. But it's like, nobody's ever booked me because they're like, your waist is hilarious.
I know. That's a great part.
You know what I mean?
You actually, like, the thing is like, you can be a lot of times as a comedian, and this is just the way, a lot of times the way that it's written in a script is that, like, you're not supposed to be the bombshell.
Yeah, because you're like the weird neighbor or whatever. Yeah,
you're like, you're supposed to be either normal or quirky. And yeah. like, you know, if that's not, that's the great thing about comedy that I constantly have to remind myself of. It's just like, if you're funny, it doesn't matter.
You know, I think it's because growing up, I felt and was so ugly. I just looked like a mushroom. And
I love the mushroom cut.
Well, I had the mushroom cut. And boy, did I pick up that personality in no time flat. But I feel like I always just wanted to be so beautiful. And I feel like I still am hanging on to that a bit. Right. And it's not to say I'm calling myself ugly necessarily, but it's like unrealistically beautiful. I was like, right. oh, I want to be this, and it's possible to be this. It's not.
Right.
It's just not. It's like, your face is your face. I could get all the plastic surgery in the world. I can only change my face so much.
Right.
It is just what it is.
Yeah, it would be.
It would be, what would I look like? What would I even do?
You also, like, I mean, I'm not just saying this, but, like, you are beautiful. And, like, guys, I know that you're probably.
If you agree with Mo, tweet at self-esteem.
Like, I know you're
party hashtag. She's
kid,
right.
Yeah, as a kid, we're like, we could look like Nicole Kidman. And
I know, yeah. dude. Nicole Kidman was one of mine, of right. course.
See, yeah, I've always been beautiful, so I don't have that problem.
It's true, though, Mo.
No, I mean...
And what do you feel now about your hair transition? When Mo has, to bring everybody up to speed who that doesn't know you, Mo has been blonde since day one of when we met, lighter than when you grew
basically
up or whatever.
Since I was, like, 19.
Exactly.
I've been getting highlights since I was 19.
Exactly. And now has drastically cut bangs and gone to a beautiful brunette. And I am loving it.
But I did it for us.
Thank you. How much of you was very nervous to do it in that, oh, this is my... It's like me being worried if I didn't have curly hair.
Exactly.
Like, this is my
brand.
That
is what it is, yeah. So I go, like, everyone knows me. Like, if somebody describes me, they say tall, blonde comic.
Yes.
And I was, like, I was held on to that for so long. And then one day I was just like, you know what? I'm not even, like, a tiny bit famous. Like, I can walk down the street just fine. Like, maybe the problem with my career is my hair color.
It's been holding you back.
It's been holding me back. And so now that, not on brunette, like, still haven't booked anything, but
it's brand new. So yeah, we're waiting, and this podcast could be it.
Yeah. And the thing is like, I'm sure everyone already knows, but we're putting on a show together, and I think it just looks better if one's brunette and one's blonde.
Here's the thing they don't know. This is exactly what I wanted to talk to you about.
Great.
Let's shift, shall we?
We shall.
Present time. Here we are. So
interior.
I had to interior.
Alana's house.
Alana's house. Mia the dog sitting on my feet. Okay. So this is where I come in with a very big thank you and give you some major credit. Mo had approached me with a wild idea.
Well, let me just say where I was too. I was I was on the road with Chelsea Handler opening for her, and I was like so excited to be doing it. And then I thought, how do I make this like happen for myself? And then I'll let you go to it. But I just want to say where I was, because I think it's important to like be like, oh my God, I'm having so much fun. How do I continue this? But obviously, Chelsea's not going to let me hang out with her every day.
So Mo's getting rejected by Chelsea Handler.
Exactly.
And meanwhile, I'm sitting desperate by my phone for anyone to text. Well, wouldn't you know it? Here she comes, rolling in, asking if I want to go on tour. Yeah, you. First of all, you asked me. Okay, wow, you ruined the huge climax. Okay, first of all, you asked for a couple of bucks. I said no. Then you said, okay, fine. Do you want to go on tour? And I said, yes.
And make literally only a couple of bucks.
Do you have 5 bucks? No, I don't.
Do you
want to
make 5 bucks?
So since then, it was like, you had said that we texted back and forth for a bit. You told me you were at Chelsea. We texted back. And then whenever I was talking to Norm about it, and it was like the excitement I have had, like you lit a fire this is my big cred to you. You lit a fire under me that has like spread to all other aspects of my work and of the rest of my life, in the sense that it's like, I have wanted something to sink my teeth into for so long. And like, of course this podcast is that, but this isn't scripted or anything like that. Like it's like you come, we chat, you go, right? It's mm-hmm. like, there's not much I can do in between chatting with the guests.
Right.
So anyways, but it was like, I've wanted a project that I can just work on. And the idea of you and I doing a double bill is just like, literally all I'm focusing on. And it's making me complete so many other tasks so that I can get them done, so that I can work on the work that needs right. to be done to go on tour with you. And it's like, I've just been saying for months, and everybody's been saying it, like, how do we get back in? Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm starting at square one. And then it was like, you just send this perfect text. And I'm like, oh my God, a project for me to work on, my own way back in. And it's been that way since day one, especially for people like you and I. Fuck, man. Nobody's giving out those opportunities. It's like, it's all us paving that way. Fuck.
The thing is like, everyone that I tell is like so excited to see that show.
Oh my God. Because
just a little history for everybody. Like, you know, for when I first moved to LA 10 years ago, we met like basically day one.
Yeah,
and
we did.
We put on sketches so much at UCB all the time that people would say, like, when are you guys putting your show on? And we're like, we're not. We just do like 50 sketches a month, you know?
I mean, pretty
and
close.
It was so much fun. And it like, I think it propelled us into this like comedy scene that was a little foreign to us.
Yeah.
It's some of my, the best times in comedy. So to come back to it, it's just like, oh my God, like, of course. And, you know, then I had the Mo show for almost 10 years where I hosted a show and Alana was my sidekick and
oh my
music
God.
Guest.
The house band sometimes. I mean, yeah. I was all kinds of things for a while there. We kept giving me all kinds of titles.
But that was the best part. Like, I think the best part of the show was just us and the banter.
And this is what we're planning on doing. So here's what the live show is going to be, because we will be doing...
And buy tickets now.
Buy They're tickets now. Sale. They're not listed. DM us. We'll take the money. Yeah. We'll save you the tick. We're going to go to a couple cities. We're talking some Midwest. We're talking some East Coast.
Yeah. Some New York.
Portland. LA, of course. Portland. Yeah. We're going to go to Denver. A couple cities. We're going to work it out. Possibly Seattle. We're going to see what everybody's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do Self-Esteem Party. So I'm going to do all my songs and the stories that go with them. And you're going to be launching an investigative report.
Exactly. This is what I've always wanted my comedy to become. The problem is I've been telling jokes all these years. It really hasn't gotten me that far.
Yeah, you should have been doing more reporting. Then maybe you'd be too famous to walk on the street.
Exactly.
And you wouldn't be able to change your hair.
The best part about being famous.
Man, if I couldn't walk on the street, fine by me. I need a ride anyways.
It'd be great. I mean, I feel like it's a great way to like have a platform. More people should like have t-shirts on that have platform. Self-esteem party sweatshirts, etc.
Thank you so much, which I'm wearing right now.
UCB Theater.
I will say, you showed up with your daughter, both of you, in the mm-hmm. self-esteem party
yes.
attire. I put mine on. We did a bit of a photo shoot. You got some sauce on yours.
I got some sauce on mine. I'll be selling that.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
For charity.
Signed. I'm going to sign it. I'm going to sign in sauce. And then you can sell that to charity or donate. Let's do something
just
nice for
once. Please don't wash it.
Yeah, guys, please. We're begging you. Okay, here's what I'm... Let's say three things you're most looking forward to about this plan of ours to tour.
Well...
We'll go one.
Okay.
We'll go back and forth.
My number one for me is us putting on a show that is so much fun for us and so much fun for the audience. I'm so sick of sad shit. I just want something that's so fucking fun. It's not divisive. It's just fun.
Yes. I was going to say the low pressure of putting on a show that doesn't have to have like some incredible meaning to it so much as it is just like, what are the things that... you think are exciting and entertaining.
Yeah.
Stuff that we thought, because we're both going to be doing some stuff that existed previous to the pandemic. And it's like, yeah, that stuff was fun then. It's fun now. And look how we've expanded upon it. This stuff is all untested. This stuff is like new. It's different. It's whatever. But it's like, or some of it's old. And it's like the whole point of being like, whatever it is, I'm going to have the best time doing it. And you guys are going to enjoy it because I'm not... we've all been dumping on each other mm-hmm. for a year and a half, and we're like, we're not doing that.
No.
You take a dump on me.
Yeah, take a dump on me because I'll be so happy. And I won't wash that off. You okay. better believe it. And you'll sign the poop.
So we're both looking. Okay, so power of positivity.
Yeah.
In the in a signed poo. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Positivity.
One signed poo. Yeah. Positivity.
There's part of me that just is so excited about, you know, we're different and better performers and people than we were 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And so to see both of us in an elevated state will be so exciting.
Yeah.
Because we are not, like, the thing about us as performers is we really are fearless. And I think that we're just going to go out there and see what
happens. And see what happens. You and I are what some people are calling a zero guarantee. We're going to get out yeah. there, we're going to do what we want, and we're going to hope you get mm-hmm. on board. Okay, my second one would be time together.
Mm-hmm.
We used to hang out nonstop. I mean, at this time, you know, we were working random jobs twins. And whatever. Yeah. We were twins.
Yeah.
What have
you. We both were not really in relationships.
Exactly. So there was plenty of time. We were rolling us with a small group of us, had lots of time on our hands, right. lots to do. And
we had a couple kids, but we didn't hang out with them.
We had a couple kids, we didn't hang out with them. And then over time, of course, you don't spend as much time together. We've always remained well, though, mm-hmm. connecting when we can, whatever. But I'm excited to, like, spend some, like, hardcore time together. Like, even yeah. just having you and Cleo here, I'm just like, yes, this is what it should be. Please be a survivor of a pandemic friendship. Please do. Right, please. Right. I'm here. You're here. Let's do it. This is the time to reconnect in, like, a new, more thoughtful way. Like, we don't have that desperation to us that we once had, that fear. It's like, no, you've established your thing. I've established my thing. And it's like, we have confidence to take on something like a tour
right.
coming out of a pandemic, which, like, I applaud anyone that's doing that because right. that's hard. That takes a lot yeah. of confidence to be like, I'm going to do a show. A lot of
comedians, like, and I mean, in like, moved back home to pursue yeah. other careers in the that's pandemic. Right. And I'm like, when people do that, I'm so happy for them. I'm like, yeah, fucking pivot. Like,
because
everyone needs to pivot, whether it's in comedy or not. Comedy is not the end all be all. Like,
you have to grow. Yeah. You have to grow. So it's like, if you're in comedy and you're staying in comedy, you got to pivot within your career to be like, yeah. okay, here are some novice mistakes I once made. And I don't mean like, oh, I ruined an opportunity. I mean like, I was disrespectful to people on set, or I
right.
didn't memorize my lines, which is disrespectful to writers and whoever. And you know what I mean? Everyone that was right. involved with the script. And I feel like you and I in our time, not apart because we've always talked, but you, career-wise, like, you kind of went more stand-up. Mm-hmm. I kind of went more, like, sketch and characters and stuff like that.
We both didn't make it.
We both didn't make it. Speak for yourself. I can barely get on a sidewalk. What are you talking about?
I'm like, we both took the... these paths, and we're like, wait, hold on. I think we both took the wrong path, and we yeah, need to go find the right one. Like,
oh, no, you don't. In my defense, I never said we both took successful paths. I said we both took paths. We took
separate paths.
We just took separate. I didn't say anybody's yeah. worked out.
So now that's what the tour is about, is us finding the path that we were supposed to go on.
Here's the thing. We both got with really successful people. Good on us.
Yeah, very good.
Very good. I mean, sure, your wife tried to break into my house, but that aside.
I mean, she's successful. She deserves it. She wants your house. She gets your house.
She should have a key, honestly. And I feel rude at having not given her one.
Oh my God. And I mean, talk about pivot. She pivoted very early and was like, you know what? Sketch comedy maybe doesn't have everything that I need.
Yeah, because there's only one job that exists.
Yeah, and she did audition for SNL and didn't get it. And so I think she just took that pivot, went into writing, and it, you know, she didn't find the right path.
It worked.
She, yeah.
I feel at that crossroads right now. I feel like, I'm like, I know, and there is no one way to do something, obviously, but I do know there is somewhere my energy needs to go, and I can't help but feel that it is self-esteem party. I can't help but feel that, like, because it's the only thing that is a constant positive. Like, a lot of my characters I do are so sad, mm-hmm. and self-esteem party is, like, the most confident thing I do. And for everyone that only knows this podcast, The intro song that you guys hear, the Self-Esteem Party song, is a song that I wrote. I write these little songs. They're all anywhere from 10 seconds to less.
Best part of the song.
Yeah, best part of the song. Anywhere from 10 seconds to 60 seconds. I have a whole album, Self-Esteem Party. Now you're caught up.
It's so good.
I'm a bit of a pop star. Thank you so much, Mo. One of my OnlyFans.
And your I do mean
the
fan.
Site OnlyFans. No, no, I meant the site one of my OnlyFans.
Yeah, I think I still have like 40 of your CDs in my trunk somewhere.
The key to CDs, guys, get them in bulk, okay?
Yeah. You got to get my No Skip ready to go.
Yeah, you got to get that CD ready. You got to get that 5 CD player. Yes. Did you ever have one of those?
Yeah, my boyfriend did. You, oh my God.
Your boyfriend.
Yeah, that's why I left him and became gay.
And chose to become gay.
Yeah, chose to become gay because of the 5
it was too
changer.
Many CDs. Yeah, it was too many CDs. My dad had one, and like,
was it in the car?
No,
because this
no.
one was in the car, but you had to change that one's way more complicated. CDs basically in the trunk, so it's like anytime like you wanted something other than the 5 CDs, you had to like go back to the trunk and
but that doesn't make sense
it. Yeah, well, you know, I think it was a discount car.
Discount.
We were teenagers.
We needed the discount. We got it. We put everything we needed in the bag.
Do you know what I was thinking? Is like you, I think there's something to be said of like with self-esteem and whatnot about like the grind and like how hard it can be. But in those moments, you also have a lot of fun shows and great friends and a community. But the fact that like, you know, when people, you know, if we ever get to a point where people are like, oh, I know who that person is, not just like our family and friends, then it will be that thing where it's like a 20-year overnight success story. But like, I think there's something to be said about believing in ourselves for like, just like continuing to do what we want to do, which is comedy.
It's stamina.
Mm-hmm.
It's just who can last the longest, who can survive a pandemic and wait it out. And wait for things to come back and then start over and find a new way back in. I mean, the people that are going to get the jobs are the people that toughed it out and are like, no, I'm still here. This didn't break me. Let's do this.
Right.
That's who's going to get the jobs. And that's who's going to have the ideas. The people that are like, and I'm not saying they have to be happy ideas. You can talk about a terrible experience you had during this time. Whatever you want, you can talk about it. It's just the people with the ideas are going to be the ones that fought to keep having them.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been a theme that's been going in my life, is waking up and having to fight myself into a positive day and a positive headspace. And that's the only way I'm getting things done. And now, like even this tour, we meet on Thursdays. Thursdays are like the peak of my week. It's like I'm always so excited. Mm-hmm. And it's we've only met a couple times, but it's like it makes me so excited because then I'm like, I base everything around having to get that work done.
Oh, it's like, so I found good. It's so creative and it's so like...
But it's like you got to find that positive thing and like work towards that and like tough it out to get there. Because
do you think are your listeners... comedy fans, or do you have a sense of who's
Here's
listening to us right now?
Yes, I do. There's three of them. I
Amal,
have three listeners.
Allison.
My mom and only one of my sisters. No, basically I would say the responses that I get are predominantly mental health based. And then the enjoyment of finding the humor within that. Mm-hmm. So I think people appreciate the real conversations like what we're having right now, because it's like, of course we're making jokes, we're comics, we can't help but be funny. In the saddest of times, I've had podcast episodes where we've cried and this and that, and we're still making jokes while we're crying, because it's like, it's our defense mechanism. It's who we are. It's our coping mechanism. It's everything about us. It's just a
default.
I would never change it.
I can't imagine it.
Don't want
not
to.
Making jokes during hard times.
I don't know how I'd get through it.
Yeah.
And that's, for some people, they can embrace the emotion. For me, not quite.
Right.
Got to get a couple laughs in there and comedic timing. If no one else is going for the joke, yours is really going to land.
Yeah, especially at a funeral. It's just so quiet. You got to
pick
your moment.
If you guys have, and I'm going to say this, if you guys have the luxury of getting a 5-minute set at a funeral, just go for it. You know what I mean? In there, name names.
Yeah, you're going to think maybe I should do all crowd work. Don't do all crowd work. Start off with it, sure, but have some written bits.
Don't do all crowd work, guys, okay? It might not go well.
episode is a little low.
A little low.
They're not going to give you what you think they are.
But yeah, it's like just this tour and the other things surrounding it have been, it's just been so nice to like have a reason to have a more positive day.
Well, having something to look forward to, like I always say this with like, and I'm not sure if I talked about it on the last podcast, but there was a time, and you knew me so well, it was when we did that lesbian web series. So,
oh my God.
During that time in Chicago, we had moved, you know, we lived in LA, and we went back to Chicago to do this web series, and then I stayed in Chicago for a couple of weeks.
That's right.
Yeah, and I was, like, really low because I felt like I put a lot of pressure on myself to succeed, and I didn't know where to go. I was pretty, like, at my own rock bottom. As you know, my car kept getting towed.
Oh, yeah.
Every day towed, yeah. To another another God knows lot, where. Another salvage yard. Yeah, it was, and then, you know, I'm at my mom's house and I was like, I don't really know what to do anymore. I feel like I have been pounding the pavement in comedy and I can't get ahead. And it was tough. And that's when I started to, like, I took out like the paper and the pens, and then I started to draw my Blair comic, which is something that at the time I ended up doing every single day for years and years. And having that time, that like 10 minutes to draw a comic and like come up with a joke, live in the moment just for that small amount of time during the day, it was like meditating. And that made me a better writer, because I go, wow, it was just because I focused for 10 minutes.
Yes,
so it's like, maybe focus. I can find a way to focus, but also having something to look forward to. Like, I drew all the time when I was younger. And when I first started drawing Blair, it's like I forgot how to draw. And yeah. So when I started drawing her, it didn't look great, but it was what it was. And that's why it was good. But like, I've become such a better artist because it's been years and years now that I've been drawing. So yeah. I just think that, like, I always give the advice of just like, even if it's for 5 minutes, if you're like working a job in finance, but you want to be a comedian, you want to be an actor, you want to draw, you want to like crochet, it's like, give yourself the smallest amount of time at first.
Yeah.
And just like, live in the moment. It makes you so happy to live in the moment. And
but that's the stamina.
Get something done.
Keep doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, I love, like, something to focus on. Mm-hmm. And you're right, it could just be 5 minutes.
And you don't have to have my thing with drawing the Blair comic was, I was like, do not have a goal with this. Everything you have
exactly.
has this, like, goal that's so unattainable. Don't have a goal with it. And that's what happened, is I was just like, my goal is to draw one and post it, you know? So I
yeah.
just, like, kept doing that over and over and over again. But when I get like kind of down about like stuff in my life, I go like, well, how can I apply like that work process to
yeah.
something else I'm doing? Whether it's like writing jokes, like fucking cleaning my house, you know?
Isn't it
like,
so interesting that you came to, because I remember this when you went to your mom's and the whole story of behind Blair. Isn't it so interesting when it's like you came to a crossroads, you hit that rock bottom. That would have been your opportunity to peace out.
Yeah.
That would have been it.
I thought it kind of was.
Yeah. And it's like, and then out of that, you created your most successful
mm-hmm.
body
it
of
is.
Work.
Yeah.
That has led to a book, has led to an animated show, which I was thrilled to voice.
Yeah.
Is still leading to new opportunities, still.
It is. Yeah.
And then has like, and it's so crazy, it reinvigorated your stand up career, even though it was a picture.
Right.
A drawing. So it's mm-hmm. like that just...
And something outside of... It was like adjacent to comedy, but
yeah.
it was outside of everything that we were doing
but
at the time.
But that's the path thing.
Right.
Is that it's like... at no point was anyone was like, oh, you know what'll get you on your path? One picture. It's
yeah,
like,
do you know what'll
no.
get you on your path? Like drawing. And I'm like, what? And, you know, I love art, but it's like...
But in
I
a professional
no
way, you never
that
thought.
That would like... the crossroads that would happen with that. And, but it all had to do with like taking that small amount of time to myself and just being like, how do you do something without having a, it's crazy, but it's like, how do you do something without having a goal in mind, except the goal is to finish it. So it's like, how do you, something like that will make you, it's more about the craft. And it's like, how do I write the best joke?
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So here's what I want to know though, because, for those of you that haven't seen it, the character Blair is a bit of a sad sock.
Yeah.
you started this when you were a sad sack.
So, yeah.
You now are so the sad. Happiest you've ever been.
Right.
Or maybe you are, maybe you aren't. I mean, you're an eight, so you're pretty happy. An eight. And from the amount of time that I've known you, which is 10 years, this is the happiest I've ever seen you. Mm-hmm. So how is that in terms of your creativity for this character that came from Mo being sad?
Right.
And now you're happy. And I understand it. Like, I know with acting, you're like, well, it's not me, but it's like, this character was you. It's like right, 100% it was you.
I almost named it Mo, but I wanted to have some sort of
separation, yeah, separation, which I'm glad you did because now look, so that's what I'm wondering though. I'm like, do you go back to that place? Do you like, in terms of mental health, I mean, you know, which is what the podcast is all about, but it's like, in terms of that, are you just like revisiting things as you draw these comics now, or is it like things that are deep down that you're just pulling out for content? Like, where's it coming from now for the new material?
It's all dark humor, which is something that I'm super invested in still. So it has nothing to do with like actually where I am, like which state I am. It's like I'm attracted to humor that is dark, and like some of it, like I'll look back and be like, that's a basic joke, but like I like jokes that are surprising. So if I can do that, that's fantastic. And I don't have to go anywhere. I mean, the DMs have stopped. There were a lot of, you know, it was like, I think a lot of times people think that that actually is me. And it's, and then they're like, wait, you're married with a child? And it's like, the truth is 8 months into drawing that comic, I met my wife, Sam. So, so I've, you know, Blair's just a character, but the jokes are real.
I'm so glad you separated it, because I don't, you know, I used to think for so long you had to live comedy and like,
and be sad to be
and
good.
Be sad to be good. And I used to think, like, especially when I was in the height of it, of like first getting here and being in the height of an eating disorder and like trying to make friends and trying to fit in and trying to make a name for myself and whatever. And I thought you had to just be so isolated and miserable and ruthless and like an asshole to get what you want. And here's the thing. Sometimes that works. For some people, being a total fucking piece of shit and so depressed and so miserable worked. But I don't want to get what I think I want and then feel that way. It's like the body thing.
Right.
I want to appreciate what I've got. I don't want to like get to that next body and then be like, this isn't good enough.
Right.
And that scares me, is that I'm like, am I now too soft? And like, have I lost that drive in doing what it takes? Or am I in the long game where I'm like, it's going to pay off? Like, the good guy doesn't finish last. Don't worry.
Like, everything that you do is so refined now, and you know who you are, that like, when I think about us like doing a show together, I'm like, wow, we both know who we are, and we're both extremely confident knowing like, hey, I don't know everything, but I know that I can do comedy. You know?
I mean, at the bare minimum.
Watch us totally eat shit.
Can somebody, oh my God, dude.
People are like, this is the worst show I've ever been to. If the show is bad,
listen, I will just be know devastated. We're having fun. We're having fun.
Even if it's horrible, we're having fun, and that's what matters.
Here's the thing, guys. I've already written an auction into my show, and by auction, I mean giveaway. But I'm calling it an auction. It's a silent auction, to the point where it's so silent you don't know you're in it. And I will be picking the auction winners, and they're going to win photos of me.
Again, they don't know that they're in it. We don't even know if they're in the audience.
They don't know if they're in the audience. I'm going to tweet at you. That's how you know you've won.
What if we give the audience members free tickets to the show that they're at, but they've already paid for their tickets?
That's a great idea. So if you guys follow through.
Here's two free tickets to this show.
If you guys follow through in getting a refund, I will reimburse you for the tickets. I will pay you
back.
What
about like, here's two free tickets to the show. We save two seats. If you can call somebody right now and get them here.
But maybe.
Yeah.
Do you think I would do it? Like if I was on the receiving end of that call, like the friend was calling me and was like, you got to come to this thing, I would do it, because you're going to be the hero of the show.
Anywhere but
if you're the person that showed up, you're going to be the hero. Like, everyone's going to give you a standing ovation the second you walk in there. It would be like if you were on stage and you were like, okay, here's this opportunity. You have to call someone. We're not starting the show until somebody gets here.
Somebody listening, remind us about this bit, because we'll do it. It'll be like an hour of us waiting.
Honestly, okay, wait. I do have to say something. I got a DM. Okay. This is making me laugh just thinking about it. So every episode, as you hear, I tell people to tweet the podcast with a hashtag. And I say I'm going to do something. I never remember. Nobody ever tweets at me, or like one or two people do. But somebody DM'd me and it just said hashtag ideas. And I was like, what's this? Oh my God, a hashtag. Wait, what's this about? And they were like, you said that you'd been stumped on ideas, but that you did have them. So DM you and you'll tell us the comedy ideas.
Oh my God. So then do you DM that one person back? I wrote them back
an idea I had. It was, look who's talking for, now the dog talks.
Love it. Sold. If we could still get Kirstie and John, that'd be great.
Isn't she like a total nut?
Yeah, even more, yeah, more right? reason we should get her. This is a talking dog movie.
I'm actually trying to get her to be my auctioneer in my set for the show.
Sure, she lives in LA.
Okay, be honest. Do you think the show is going to be good? Do you think we're going to kill it?
I think it's
going
to be amazing because we're going to have so much
fun. I think it's going to be amazing, yeah. too. I think Joy's people infectious.
Will listen, people are going to listen back to this podcast and be like, wow, that was the beginning of the show.
I think people can feel a friendship when it is real.
Yeah.
And we're opening the show with you and I together introing the show. And I think people are going to feel that energy. Mm-hmm. And especially we have the energy because this is true. Of friends that haven't worked together in so many years, obviously because we haven't and because of the various different paths. And we've come together right. to do some projects and like you had me on the cartoon and all that, which was amazing. But it's like, you can feel people's excitement. Joy is absolutely infectious. So that's already going to get, that might not be funny, say, but that's excitement. So yeah. One, they're excited. We've got them excited. Okay. It's going to be funny.
They don't know what they're getting.
They that's don't so, know what they're getting. Yeah. That's why it's going to be funny.
Except for your listeners, value. Because we're kind of telling them. Because
you guys
the
already know. Yeah. But the shock value of what you said, when two people put a show on and they come out together, but it's two separate shows, you're like, wait, what? Who's mm-hmm. going first? What's going to happen? Why are these shows so different? It's like, it's a night of twists and turns.
This is like when UCB used to do the spank shows, but yeah. we're like together in between these.
And we are
I had a one-woman show. I always say like my two biggest regrets in life were my two one-woman shows.
Do go on. I was at both.
And the one at UCB, that was so funny because it had absolutely no narrative and it was just bonkers. And it also wasn't funny. And I remember like halfway through seeing like Taron Killam, the guy who was on SNL.
Yeah, because he was at the show beforehand.
Yeah, and I remember seeing him and I was just like, well, I don't think I think the crowd is liking this.
Do you think you're funny?
Do I think I'm funny?
Yes, like I now in this moment. Because you yeah. said that show wasn't funny. Do no. you think you're funny though?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, but that, no, that show, I think I rehearsed it once. And I didn't know any of the cues.
Yeah, Mo, what the fuck did you think was going to
this classic. And then the first one-woman show was a nightmare because it was sold out for two nights. So many people saw it.
Oh, my God.
And it was so bad. It was so bad. It was doing Larry Bird. And
I remember.
But I was like, Larry Bird
at the Pantages Theater?
No, it was at, this was at the Lincoln Lodge. Oh. And it was like, I was Larry Bird on video talking to a little Mo, and then I did a Taylor Swift impression, and I don't know how to do impressions, and I was just like, hi, y'all, I'm Taylor Swift, and Sam still is like, I can't believe you did that.
I also don't know how to do an impression. Okay, let's each give each other a celebrity you have to do an impression of.
Okay, Nicole Kidman.
Okay. Wait, where's she from again?
Oh, but Australia.
She
was
from- okay. Oh, he's going down into the river. He's oh,
river. And he's river. Another bit for our show.
Okay, but oh, he's coming down to the river is not an easy line to say. In my defense, okay, I'm gonna give you one. First of all, I thought that was pretty good. Let's do. I'm gonna give you one.
Okay.
Yours is Daniel Craig.
Oh, Daniel Craig. Okay, he's British. Hello, have you seen my little gun? I love Adele. I can't do any accents.
Have you seen my little gun? Dude, I'm so bad at impressions. Like, honestly, SNL, like, of course I wanted it for so long. I would be terrified to get that job now because of how bad I am at impressions. Yeah. Like, it'd be an amazing job. It seems like it's so much fun, but I would be terrified. Because if they were like, okay, Lana, you're playing this person, you look just like them. You're playing Adele. Yeah, they're like, even if I sounded like them or looked like them, I would botch it. I would find a way.
Oh, yeah. I would just go right back to
mumbling. Who do I even look like and sound like? Madonna?
Who were your impressions when you auditioned?
I didn't have any. No, that's not true. I did Suri Cruz talking for the first time, and she just made a little peep noise. Because nobody had ever heard her talk. This was years ago when I tested. Yeah. Like, so long ago. But, no, my... Oh, no! Remember? Yes, I have one. I used to do Nancy Grace trash-talking Ricky Lake on Dancing with the Stars. I have an impression!
Yeah. Wait, can you... Yeah.
I don't remember. How does it go? She goes, give me the stats. No, you know what? I don't have time for this. Or like whatever. She was talking about stats on that new show.
That's great. And I think that you can do a little bit of a Southern accent.
There's a bit of, yeah, she's got, because I just remember her from that news show.
Yeah.
HLN News or something like that.
The Nancy Grace show?
Yeah.
I don't know. The Nancy Grace talk show? She gave away koosh bowls?
Yeah, the koosh balls. You know, she was known for that.
I used to do an impression that was like Roseanne, you know, before all the Roseanne stuff.
Sure.
But it was like
Roseanne. Sure, you did this impression a week ago.
Yeah. It was like Roseanne going out for Joe Pesci's character in Goodfellas.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, it was like, oh my God. Well, the big thing was the laugh, so I don't want to like scare your dog. But it was okay. Just like, clown? Who are you calling a clown? I'm not a housewife. I'm a domestic goddess. Oh my God. I used to do that at like 3 a.m. at the open mics in Chicago.
And this is a like perfect wasted. Impression.
Oh, it's a perfect impression for now. Hey, you guys hey. Big fans of Roseanne?
In Chicago? Yeah.
Yeah. They're Here's gonna be my like, Roseanne impression. They're gonna Next be like, is my Louis C.K. impression.
We miss them. Yeah, they're going to be like, bring them back. Yeah, they're going to be so happy. Like,
yeah. In doing all of the canceled celebrity impressions, Mo, you are now canceled.
Do you remember when Yumi and Beth Stelling, I'm looking at your tattoo right now. Do you remember when Yumi and Beth Stelling got the tattoos together? Oh my God.
Amazing. Do you remember? Beth has a huge, I mean, I don't know if it's on her most recent HBO Max special, but Beth has a huge Girl bit Daddy. On doing, getting her tattoo. Because while we're over here getting, you know, I got the circle here, just like a circle on my wrist.
Yeah, I got an Arabic word, uwe, which means power.
Yeah, and Beth was getting the signature of her boyfriend on her back, who then boyfriend she broke
at
up
the,
with.
Yeah, boyfriend at the time, which it's like, and I'm going to say this, they were in a long-distance relationship.
Right.
So I was like, is this a good idea? And she was like, it's going to be so funny. And here's the thing. She wasn't wrong. It and was we, so funny.
And it was so funny when it was happening. It was and then so after funny. We were like, this is hilarious. And then her bit about it is so funny that I'm like, this is worth it.
It's so, you guys got to check out her special. She came on the podcast. We talked about it, but like, oh my God, it's so funny.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah, that was great. On Melrose, we just like one afternoon
for without no any reason. Research
whatsoever. We're like, let's all go get a tattoo. And Beth, by the way, claims she's coming on tour with us.
That's right. She wants to hit up a couple of cities. We're going to hold her to it.
Yeah, please tweet at Beth Stelling.
Hashtag which cities if you want to know where she's going. Okay. We only said each of us. We're nearing the end of the podcast. We each only said the two things that we were looking forward to in the tour. We never got to three because we got too derailed. What's your third thing you're looking forward to? We said positivity. Both of us said positivity.
Yeah, we said positivity.
And I said time together.
Yeah.
You said, what was your second one?
I think that this... Oh,
sorry, go ahead.
Well, yeah, it is like...
That we know our voices now more?
Yeah, but
like
it's
that?
Almost like jumping into the unknown. Like, let's just like have the goal of doing this show without any real goal other than that. And like, let's see what happens. Because like, that's always really exciting.
My third thing is I've never been on a tour.
Really?
I've never been on a tour.
I will say,
I'm so excited to go.
I have always thought, like, Alana, you would really thrive at stand-up shows, just doing whatever you want to do for those 10 minutes, like, on a stand-up show, because then all these comedians want to take you on tour.
You know what? I don't know if I see a world where I could do, say, traditional club comic stand-up, because I don't think like a human being. I think it's so jumbled in my head.
Yeah, but it's like, I still think that you could do it, because if you see like how bad it can be there, you'll be confident to know you can
but
make
here's the thing.
The crowd
no,
laugh.
Here's the thing. I think I can make people laugh. I'm not saying that. I'm talking traditional stand-up, like setup punchline. I have so much respect for stand-ups. I think it's so hard. I have tried to write jokes. I find it very hard to do. I really struggle with it. Do I think I can get up there and chat? Excuse you. I have a podcast. Of course I can. But do I think I can get up there and logically say jokes and repeat them? I don't know about that.
It'd be pretty wrote you 5 minutes of stand-up for you to do, and then you wrote me a five-minute character.
Okay. Let's each write each other before we get out of here. Let's each write each other. You tell me... You write me a joke, or tell me a joke, or a premise about a joke, and I'll tell you a character. Here's mine. I'll go first.
Okay, great.
Okay. Her name's Linda, and she doesn't, she refuses to purchase the shopping bags in the grocery store, and she's just going to carry her items out, but she has too many items.
I already want a scene partner, and I forgot that you don't have a scene partner when you're just up there. Wait, so Linda has too many items, which she refuses to purchase the bag
for 10 cents.
Okay.
What in the hell? I don't think so. Hello?
Wait a second. Stop. Stop. She is midway to conversation and says hello.
That's my Australian accent.
Yeah, she's already in a fight and then halfway through greets possibly a new person that has joined the conversation.
Hey, you need to take that clip off and just send it directly to Lauren Michaels.
Okay, Lauren. Oh. I will send it to Lauren Michaels. Okay,
yeah,
give me a stand-up premise and okay. I'll tell you a joke.
I'm going to give you like, let me see.
Oh, you're looking one up. Jokes. She's looking one up. This is serious.
Okay. We're going to get something here.
I might use this in the show, like, if all goes well.
Oh, this will be good because it's about being a parent.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, so I'll just give you the idea and then you can kind of rant on it. Yeah, so it's so the idea is that, like, you have one kid and then all these parents, like, these zombie parents who have gotten no sleep and have, like... You know, one kid they're holding like a football, one they're like dragging, or just like, when are you gonna have your next kid? Like that sort. I don't want to give you any sort of like.
Okay.
So they're asking you, when are you gonna have your next kid?
Okay.
When it's already a nightmare.
Okay, here we go. Another kid. I barely stole this one. There
Love
you go.
It.
Nailed it.
Somebody clip that off.
Clip it out. Okay,
send
guys.
Send it to Loren.
Give us the audio bites. Send it to Lauren Michaels.
say my opening joke for yours, which is, you know what they say about a lady with big hands? Gross.
Gross.
Yeah.
I know that. Say that
the way that you would say it.
Okay. You know what they say? Okay.
You have to pretend like you just came out on stage, so you also have to say hello to the crowd.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Anyways, what's popping off? Okay, you know what they say about a lady with big hands? And that's a fat. No thanks from this guy. That's my time. Thanks so much. Honestly, I know we're having a laugh right now, but that was pretty good.
If you go onto a stand-up show, you go tell one really short setup punchline joke and immediately leave the stage. And, like, a lot of people joke about, like, that's my time, and then they pretend to leave and they come back, but you leave.
If I leave, I will go down in history as the greatest comedian of all time.
Do it, like, at the Largo.
When they have, like, a half hour book for me. Okay, Mo, you started this podcast at an 8. How are you feeling now? Scale 1 to 10.
I mean, when I'm hanging out with you, I'm always feeling a 10.
I'm a 10. Yeah. I'm a sky-high 10 because you invigorate me.
And the turkey meatballs invigorated me.
The turkey meatballs invigorated you. You invigorated me. You give me life. You are a breath of fresh, inspiring air. You're not even just fresh. You inspire new air. It's like... like I said, joy's infectious. You're infectious to be around. It's like,
I feel the same way about you. I love the
energy.
We always go home and then we text each other and we go, oh my God, I thought of this idea.
I know.
Oh my God, wait, should we all go? Should we all go on vacation together?
I'm feeling like a million bucks. Honest to God, thank you so much for doing this.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Tell us about your book.
It's called How to Die Alone. Last I checked, it was $5.99 at Target. So, so get it while you can.
Scoop it up.
Yeah, it's very, very expensive. It's called How to Die Alone. But yeah, you can follow me on Instagram if you want to see those comics at Momo Welch.
If you guys want to follow the podcast, we are at Self Esteem Party on Instagram and Twitter. And if you'd like to follow me, I'm at the only Elena Johnson on Instagram and at Elena_Johnson on Twitter. And don't forget to follow our Patreon, www.patreon.com/selfesteempartymo. The pleasure has been literally no one's but mine. Thank you so much.
Believe in yourself.